Can she hear that? The mayor talking?
E6th. Thank you. We have one item that was carried over from this morning. It'll just take us a moment. I'm going to ask the clerk to call the roll, and then I'm going to read a script in a moment regarding Commissioner Udaly, who's joining us on the phone. So there's some formal language. I'll say that in a minute. But first, if we could just call the roll.
The roll without her. Can you wait just one moment? We're trying to get the...
Sure. For you, Carla, anything.
Thank you.
Hi, Dan.
Hi.
You do not have to run.
Oh.
Okay.
Looks like you read my handwriting.
Very good. Okay. Commissioner Udaly is home with a sick child. Failure to participate in today's council session would jeopardize the public interest, health, safety, or welfare. Am I reading this correctly?
Yes.
Huh. Okay. Therefore, unless there is an objection by any member of the council, Commissioner Udaly will participate in today's hearing by teleconference.
Nope.
Is there any objection? There is no objection. Very good. We've completed that script. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Udaly.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. And I'm sorry, Commissioner Udaly. I hope you're smiling from afar. Item number 422. Could you call the item, please?
422, authorize a contract with ICF Jones and Stokes, Inc. in the amount of $240,000 to provide for the use of a proprietary habitat model for the city's salmon safe certification.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor, in honor of Earth Week, the Bureau of Environmental Services has brought forth two different items. One, recently, when we sought the support of the council to turn methane gas into clean energy, a triple win for the city, our environment, our ratepayers. And we're very proud of that. Today is the second installment of our Earth Day story, and it's about the city's Salmon Safe certification and our role in it. Portland is home to more endangered species than any other U.S. city. And when Caitlin once said that to me, I had to repeat it a few times because I had to let it sink in. We are home to more endangered species than any other U.S. city. This includes 13 different species of salmon. When she said it to me, the first thing I thought, oh, shame on us. And then I realized, no, we're home to endangered species. There's something about our habitat that's welcoming. Last year, Portland was the first city in the world to receive a Salmon Safe certification. This was a multi-year, multi-bureau effort and required a lot of hard work from many teams across the city. The work that BES has done to achieve certification has received national and local acclaim. The Johnson Creek floodplain restoration projects, the Crystal Springs restoration, the Mason Flats wetland restorations, and Columbia Slough, to name a few. All of these projects help make our city safer for fish and for people. That's why I'm asking the Bureau of Environmental Services to build on our work and reconvene the multi-bureau team that collaborated during the Salmon Safe review process to explore a more formal citywide program to designate the best of the best rivers and streams as, quote, urban salmon sanctuaries, end quote, and to bring a full proposal back to council this fall. More immediately, the reason we're here today is to approve an ordinance that will improve the effectiveness of our ongoing restoration efforts across all the watersheds and implement some of the recommendations that came out of the extensive Salmon Safe review process. Here to join us today is Caitlin Lovell, Science Division Manager for BES, and her team, which she'll introduce, to walk us through this presentation. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good afternoon. Thank you for squeezing us in.
Good afternoon.
I've brought with me today Melissa Brown, my senior fish biologist, who's in charge of coordinating the Bureau's implementation of the Salmon Safe conditions, and Rhonda Fast, who is here to highlight one of the Bureau's most visible salmon projects. A little background. On June 5th, 2013, Mayor Hales pledged that Portland would become the first certified Salmon Safe city in the world. Salmon Safe is an independent, nonprofit accreditation organization headquartered here in Portland that has become a leading eco-label dedicated to the protection and improvement of native Pacific Northwest Salmon Habitat and Watershed Health. Portland Parks has been certified salmon safe since 2004. The Mayor's Pledge called on BES, Water Bureau, PBOT, OMF, and FHIR to also become Salmon Safe certified. Over the next 2 years, the team from Salmon Safe and their independent scientists reviewed all of the Bureau's operations against their salmon-focused criteria. Salmon Safe officially presented their conditional certification to Council on October 26, 2016. The certification included many recommendations in the form of conditions in order for us to maintain the certification over the next 5 years. There are actually four cross-bureau conditions that apply to all of the bureaus, and each bureau has their own set of conditions. For BES specifically, we have 8 conditions. We're well on our way to implementing and responding to all of them. But today, we're here specifically to talk about BES Condition 5. The results of this review were really not surprising at all. BES is doing some great things for salmon, but there are some areas for improvement. Condition 5 directs BES to commission an independent evaluation of recently completed restoration projects by a team of outside experts in restoration ecology and related fields. And it goes on to further describe how we should actually do that. Condition 5 is the only condition that we need outside assistance to satisfy. And at this time, all other conditions are being addressed with internal staff and existing budgets. In selecting this methodology, we wanted something that was peer-reviewed, widely accepted, and durable. But we also didn't want it to just work for Salmon Safe. We needed to look at a number of different options that serve multiple bureau needs. So the objectives included meeting multiple bureau objectives and specifically leveraging the results with our stormwater systems planning and our watershed systems capital investments. We also looked for a program that was cost-effective and relatively within existing bureau budgets. We landed on ecosystem diagnosis and treatment. It's a proprietary model owned by ICF Jones and Stokes International. We've used EDT in the past, as has the Water Bureau. They're currently using it for their Bull Run Habitat Conservation Plan. Because when we issued a prior RFP on this, it resulted in one response. Procurement directed us to issue this as a direct contract. So that's all sort of jargon and contract speak, and I wanted to really explain how this will make a difference on the ground. In the Salmon Safe report, they commended BES for impressive progress in restoring floodplains and salmon habitat along Johnson Creek, Crystal Springs, and other city waterways, with many major projects completed in recent years. What we can do is we can look at all of those projects individually. What EDT will allow us to do is to provide the tools to really quantify the cumulative effect of all of those projects on the landscape itself and on the salmon. And what I'm going to turn over to Rhonda here in a second to show you is just how impressive all of this work has been. I think Crystal Springs really highlights the power of the work that we've been doing and the value that EDT will bring to our projects as we move forward.
Okay. Like Caitlin said, one of the areas we'll be particularly interested in the results of the EDT analysis will be in Crystal Springs Creek, where since 2010, BES and numerous partners, too many to name here, made targeted investments in restoring nearly half of the entire length of Crystal Springs since 2010. But first, to orient you, Crystal Springs Creek is a tributary to Johnson Creek in southeast Portland's Selwood neighborhood, flowing from Springs in both Reed College and Eastmoreland Golf Course. Crystal Springs there's no fish passage barriers between it and the Pacific Ocean. Salmon seek refuge here when the Willamette is too warm or during higher flows. But Crystal Springs faced 3 primary problems, which I'll talk about a little bit today and how we tackled those problems. Beginning in 2010, we began an effort with numerous partners to replace, or in one case, remove all 9 undersized culverts that impeded fish passage, including one owned by Union Pacific Railroad, 8 culverts were publicly owned, but this one here that we celebrated in 2013 was the only one not in public control. It was the one that could have gotten away, but it didn't. And then at the Brennan property, this site looks very different today than it once did. It used to have a home, a triplex actually, and the property owners sold the property to us for the purposes of doing restoration. We removed a culvert on this site entirely and restored it to its current function today. The other challenge that Crystal Springs faced is water quality, especially in regard to temperature and stormwater-related pollution. Here in the upper part, at Westmoreland Park, the old, large, shallow, open body of water here, the former duck pond, contributed nearly 6 degrees Fahrenheit, especially in the summer months, and elevated nutrient levels contributed to stream health and public health concerns here. And in some areas, the stormwater flowed directly into the creek, picking up pollutants with it. So anywhere we could, we worked to give the stream more room. And we, in those situations, we installed riparian buffers, green streets, and pervious pavement to manage stormwater more effectively. And lastly, Crystal Springs suffered from the lack of habitat. And in many locations, concrete curbing along the stream prevented the connection between the stream and its neighbor and surrounding floodplain. And so improvements were made. Targeted improvements were made over 8 years in Crystal Springs along nearly half the length of the stream. And this is now, and Salmon responded right away during the Salmon Celebration at Westmoreland Park here. During 2014 Salmon Celebration, salmon were present in the park as we celebrated. So it's a testament to if you build it, they will come. And we're excited to see the results of evaluating the work and seeing what changes we would need to possibly make in designs for the future projects.
The contract, the total contract is $240,000. It's phased over 3 fiscal years, and it's divided up into 7 discrete tasks, which will get started immediately. At this point, we're confident that EDT will give us many good reasons to celebrate, and we're really excited about Commissioner Fish's charge to BES to reconvene the Salmon Safe team to explore this idea of establishing an urban salmon sanctuary in the city. We look forward to returning in the fall with a full proposal for your consideration. At this point, we welcome your questions.
I'll just say this. I think this is fantastic.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you, Commissioner Fish, for taking up the mantle of this. I want to thank my predecessor, Mayor Hales, who saw the value in this vision, and I think it's terrific.
Mayor, one couple of observations. One is that some of the best work we've done here we did in partnership with Portland Parks and Rec. And when we did the dedication at Crystal Springs, we were there with the Army Corps of Engineers, with BES, with Parks, and others. And so it was an example of where partnership taken to a new level can result in something great. Second thing is, I am spoiled in BES because of the quality of the people who work at the Bureau. And Dan knows this. We just have tremendous people. These are some of the best people who work at the Bureau. Caitlin has really pushed some of our work to the next level, which is why Mike Houck invites her and not me when they do tours of these places, which is a smart move. The other thing I just want to point out is sometimes people ask, you know, why the focus on salmon and how does that relate to our work? And I think she said it best. When salmon are healthy, it's a pretty good indicator of the health of people. And if we become a city that really puts the salmon front and center, and I know Spencer Beebe will be pleased to hear this, but if we fly that flag throughout our platforms, what we're really doing is building a city and restoring nature in the city so that it is a healthier place for people. And along the way, when we do this work, we also think it's a good value for our ratepayers, because we are a heavily regulated bureau that has lots of permits and lots of concerns. And, you know, now that salmon have come back to these places and can be seen spawning and healthy, it's remarkable. If I could be king for a day, though, I'd expand the bike infrastructure on the Orange Line so that once you hit McAdam, it doesn't become sort of a, you know, catch-as-catch-can to the neighborhood. And it would make this Crystal Springs more accessible to the rest of the city. And I hope at some point they do build out the bike infrastructure along the Orange Line, because that's the missing piece to bring people.
Commissioner, please continue.
I just want to say I'm incredibly proud of their work, and it has very little to do with my leadership and a lot to do with the leadership of the women who are joining us today.
I did have a question. So obviously the spring flows through all kinds of properties, public and private. What sort of reaction are you getting from private sector property owners to some of the improvements you're making along the banks immediately adjacent to private property? And what kind of process do you go through to get their support?
We work with private property owners up and down the stream. We've had to secure easements for projects, and so overall, the measure of our success is whether or not they grant us permission to do the work on their property is one measure, and they've granted that permission to us willingly. We have relationships with most all of the property owners along Crystal Springs Creek. Much of the creek is publicly owned, but there are sections of it that are privately owned where it goes through people's backyards and front yards, and we work with them. We connect them to resources. If we can't provide those resources, with the Watershed Council, with the Crystal Springs Partnership, and part of what we do is try to be a connector. And so if we can't provide resources directly, then we connect them to people who can. And we always try to form positive relationships with folks along, because they have a resource in their backyard that we hope they take care of for the good of all.
What is the source of Crystal Springs? Obviously, it's a spring. Where is the source located?
There's actually a number of different springs, Mayor. They start up at Reed College, who is actually one of the best, most sustainably oriented landowners, riparian landowners on the creek. And then the other is up at the Rhododendron Garden, which is owned by Portland Parks. And so those two wings of the creek, if you will, come together in the golf course, the Eastmoreland Golf Course.
So as a salmon habitat, I assume based on your presentation and the minimal amount that I know about springs, it's actually fairly cold water would be my guess, and consistently so. Is that one of the attractive features from the perspective of salmon habitat?
That's the primary attractant at this point. And the springs come out of the ground at about 12 degrees Celsius. We'd like to keep them under, by the time it gets to Johnson Creek, we want to make sure that it's no higher than 18 degrees Celsius, so no more than 6 degrees through all of that. We're well on our way. There's still some heat sources that we need to take care of through the system. But doing these kinds of projects, taking out the ponds, riparian plantings, is really going a long way. We've reduced the stream temperature by over 3 degrees Celsius just through these projects alone.
Oh, that's interesting.
By comparison, on some of the major creeks and major streams where utilities, for example, hydropower dams have to also worry about temperature, PGE estimates that they spend about $1 million per degree just to reduce temperature. And we're able to do it and achieve all these other multiple benefits as well. It's also one of the primary activities that we've called out in the climate change work. So this is really helping us as building our climate resilience as a city.
And final word, Mayor.
Yes, sir.
We're in the process of completing our next strategic plan and working with the community. You're going to hear three consistent themes going forward. One is this idea of urban salmon sanctuaries, and you'll get a major presentation in the fall, but it is an organizing principle which we think is going to change the way we do our work. Number two, you're going to hear about how we take waste and turn it into clean energy and produce value for ratepayers. And number three, why am I blanking on number three? I am blanking on number three. Those two are pretty good. I know. Number three is that Director Jordan thinks that with your support, Mayor, and the council support over the next 10 years, we can get to a point where the Bureau becomes the first fully sustainable infrastructure bureau of the city, which means we've caught up, all of our infrastructure is in good or better condition, and we're paying as we go, which is largely attributable to a dedicated revenue source, which PBOT does not have. But would, I think, set a standard for how we maintain our infrastructure.
That's great. Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you. I found it interesting that Parks got its certification more than 10 years ago, and yet some of these projects are in parks. And then you mentioned that Crystal Springs still has some hot spots to go. So am I correct in deducing that you get to the salmon size safe level, but then there's still things that you could do to make it even better?
Absolutely. Salmon Safe just looked at our day-to-day operations as different bureaus. So for parks, it's really how they plan their parks, how they take care of the riparian area, what kind of chemicals, irrigation, those kinds of operational things. Same with BES. It's how we manage stormwater on our sites, dealing with erosion, how we process restoration projects through our internal capitalization policies and prioritizations. And so that gets us to a certain level, but there's always more that we can do, and there are always opportunities that when we bring together the right partners will present themselves that we ourselves couldn't do just through our own day-to-day operations.
Commissioner, Commissioner Fritz, did you?
I was just going to say, I suspect there are not many cities in the nation who have golf courses which are sound safe.
No, I believe New York was looking after that, and we've, since the city has become Salmon Safe certified, we've gotten a number of surprising calls actually from around the country, from small cities in Washington, Ellensburg, Washington, to cities in California investigating how we were able to do it. So I think there's a lot of interest.
And one of the big concerns I get from constituents on parks issues is the use of selected things like Roundup occasionally. And we do have an integrated pest management system that absolutely uses the least possible toxic level to maintain. And so that's still in Salmon Safe purview. Mm-hmm. So, and then we're doing a pilot on the banning of neonicotinoids, so looking at are the roses still able to fight off rose midge. And so it's, I think, a helpful reminder that you can get to a certain level and you still keep trying, you still keep looking at how could we make things even better. So thank you for your work on this.
Thank you.
Commissioner Udaly, before we go to public testimony, did you have any comments?
I'm good.
Okay. Is there any public testimony on this item?
Star had signed up earlier, but I believe she left.
This goes to a second reading.
Okay, very good. Any further conversation? If none, we will. This is a non-emergency first reading. It moves to second reading.
Oh,
thank you.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
So, Mayor, there is some urgency in concluding this contract, and it does technically meet the definition of slapping an emergency clause on with my colleague's dispensation.
I'd be happy to second that. So, state for the record, what is the reason for adding the emergency?
Caitlin.
The emergency is twofold. One is to be able to start this work during this fiscal year, to be able to get a jump start, and the other is to be able to use some of these initial results to inform this urban salmon sanctuary proposal that we want to bring back in the fall.
So in other words, saving the planet doesn't wait.
No.
Thank you very much.
All right,
so
very good. We have a motion. We have a second. Any further discussion on the motion? Please call the roll on the amendment.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. Now to the main motion. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Fish?
I'm very proud to support this. I am extremely grateful for the high quality of the work of the leadership of my bureau, and I think Caitlin consistently brings distinction to our bureau as to all of her colleagues. And I thank you for your presentation, your good work, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman?
Well, thank you for your great work. Thanks, Commissioner Fish, for leading this effort. And it's very exciting where you're taking our city. So thank you on behalf of me and all the salmon. Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, I can quite see, Commissioner, why you wanted to wait until we could do the PowerPoint, because the photographs really do say a lot about it. And I'm also glad we added the emergency so that we can tell you right now that we very much appreciate the work that you're doing. And please keep doing even more. Aye.
Wheeler.
Good ordinance. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you to the staff for your hard work on this. I am an aye. The ordinance is adopted as amended. Thank you.
Thank you.